You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number if you would like to get in here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Okay, so the Astros, Fromber is looking really good. Very, very exciting and very good news about Fromber's health, about his finger, fractured finger.
Very, very exciting, very good news.
Highest rated finger.
Best finger replacement in the world.
No, he just let it, instead of going and getting surgery, let it heal itself.
He's going to need a season-ending surgery, career-ending surgery. Oh, what happens when you pour a little beer on it like people tell you to do, and you just let it rest and put some ice on it? Oh, look what we got here. Yeah. Fromber's coming back. You said he's back. He's not going to miss any days,
well,
right?
Very, 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 very exciting news. It's very good. There's no potential target date, but it is looking great. Pedro Baez.
Well, hold on.
What?
There's no potential target date, but it's looking great. What does that mean?
Well, I mean, they're not going to put a number on it. They're just saying he's going.
Give us a hint.
Well, how about 2 weeks?
Okay, good.
No, that's not it.
Oh.
No. No, probably. I don't know. I have no idea. But he's really doing. It's so amazing. That was a one hopper back to the mound on a ball that wasn't all that hard hit. And it took him out for this what appears to what we thought originally was the season. Come on. Pedro Baez, he's got a health situation. I don't want to say COVID, but it's COVID. And he will be back apparently in late April, mid-April. Andre Scrub looking at a mid-April return. After leaving his Cactus League game with shoulder soreness. And Josh James. Remember Josh James is on this team. I don't know if you heard.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot about Josh James.
Yeah. His hip. He had a torn a labral tear in his left hip at the end of last October. And he seems to be right on schedule for an eight-month return late May or early June. Josh James will be back. Jake Odorizzi, sometime during the initial homestand. So we'll see Odorizzi early on, which is nice. So
that's good.
Yeah, no, that's great.
That's good.
You've got four.
So what you're telling me is it's all coming together.
It really is. It really kind of is all coming together.
Let me see what the latest numbers are.
So
see if you're really believing it.
What are you talking about?
See what the latest numbers are.
So the Astros. Let's
see what Vegas is saying.
How about this? They play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So they will need a fifth starter. Then they play Tuesday, day off. Then they are Oakland and Detroit are here for seven. They get. How about this? This you never see. This you never see. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Oakland, Sunday off. You never see an off. Monday and Thursday are off days, or Wednesday, every once in a while.
Yeah.
You never see a Sunday off day. What is? Wow, that is weird.
Oakland 85.5 wins in Vegas.
Astros should be right around the same neighborhood.
What do you think on Oakland?
I think I like Oakland. Oakland is a good.
You like
good
over 85?
Yeah, Chapman's back.
85 and 72. Yeah. I mean, 86 and 75, I guess, right?
No. That's not the.
No, wait, 86 and 76. 162.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So 10 games over there?
Yeah.
Why not? Yeah. 10 games sense. Above where
500. Yeah. Right. Right.
Yes.
That makes sense. Yeah.
You like over?
Yes.
I think that number's pretty, a a pretty tight number.
Well, I think Oakland will be 10 games over 500. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Your Rangers.
Mike Fiers will be back soon. So
your Rangers are 67.5, we think.
They improved their pitching staff. They might win more than that.
Angels, 82.5.
Well, Rendon. They picked up,
you really can't sleep on them. Although, the over
is Ohtani going to be healthy? No. I mean, you know that.
And then your Astros are 87.5.
Yeah.
What do you think?
They didn't show that last year. You know what, though? I think with, if Fromber comes back in place, picking up Odorizzi, the Astros have the, according to this now, and it is, I don't know how, it's ranking all of the lineups in baseball. Yesterday we saw one that had the Astros 6th, which I think is closer. This one has the Astros 11th as their lineup. They talk about losing George Springer. But you know what? I think you fade George Springer. I really do think you can. With these guys in there, I think you can fade George Springer. And if you get a deal done with Carlos Correa, which looks like is looking more and more likely, they're at the table right now. And who knows? You know what? That's an arbitrary number, the beginning of the season. And Carlos, I'm not doing well, whatever. If they offer you what you want in 3 games into the season, guess what's going to happen? You're gonna say yes, okay. Dodgers 1, Yankees 2, Padres 3. These are lineups. Braves 4. Braves got a good team now.
Mm-hmm. Braves. They were really under the radar last year, at least for American League people like us now.
They got
we're sad American League people.
They got the White Sox 5, but losing Eloy Jimenez is a big, big loss. Toronto, Philadelphia. You can't tell me Philadelphia's got a better lineup than the Astros. Sorry. The Mets, sorry. Angels, sorry. Red Sox, sorry. Astros. I think the one that we had yesterday was a lot more accurate. The Astros are going to have one of the best lineups in baseball. They will be absolutely a top 10 offense in baseball. Absolutely. Now, they do have the rotation. The Astros rotation is 9. And that's with, Fromber for a while. Dodgers 1, Padres, Braves, White Sox, Mets, Twins, Indians, Yankees, Astros. With the signing of McCullers, hopefully he can stay. If McCullers comes through, maybe this gives him a bunch of confidence.
If McCullers, yeah. I mean, it may be. He strikes me as a guy who this could be something that really gives him juice.
Yes.
And confidence. I think his is mostly mental. And then Fromber, getting Fromber back and having Lance McCullers. I think if Lance McCullers has his best year as an Astro, which I don't think that's asking too much, to have his best year as an Astro right now after this many years in the league, I don't think that's outrageous at all. And then to have Fromber come back and get anywhere near last year, I think your Astros are in really good shape.
Yeah.
I think there are some questions about the lineup. I mean, I do think that you do want to make sure that Altuve and Yuli hit the ball consistently this year. I'm less worried about Altuve than Yuli. You just wonder if Yuli's with a big looping swing, if his age is catching up with him from a bat speed standpoint. But also, it's almost like that great unknown that, you could be adding potentially an MVP candidate. And I don't think that's too much to say that with Yordan. That's really not too much to say. No. Look how that guy was bombing out home runs as a rookie.
Well, and that's exactly right. You lost Springer, but you added Yordan, Rookie of the Year.
Yordan is he's one of the reasons you got to the World Series.
Yeah, yeah. So, that's how you can fade. You can certainly fade. And how about Bregman actually, hitting and Altuve hitting this year? I mean, Altuve getting back to Altuve. This is a top 5 offense in the league, if you want to know the truth. Now, obviously, everybody's got to get back to 2017 status, but if they do, this lineup is going to be able to fade George Springer. It absolutely is. They got Dusty Baker ranked as the 12th best manager. I don't know. The guys love Dusty. And Dusty has done. You know what? I was down on him. I was hesitant about Dusty.
I gave him ageism. I put the ageism on.
You did. You were ageist.
But he did a nice job of blending in with the younger team.
Yeah.
He did a really nice job, I thought. And they seemed to like him. And I mean, Dusty's going to give you some more standard baseball type stuff. Like, it was a refreshing for me to see Dusty go, hey, you know what? I'm just going to roll with this guy. Now, granted, it was a different kind of year because of the way the COVID situation. But Dusty was playing hunches. He said, you know what? I'm going with Javier for a third inning here.
Yeah.
I'm going to close the game out with him. Like, it was nice to see Dusty play hunches instead of A.J. Hinch playing, you know, robot baseball where he just let the simulation handle everything.
Well,
that was not
– no.
That gets boring sometimes.
Kevin Cash, the Rays, is the second-best manager. I think he fiddles a little too much, if you want to know the truth. But you know what? They got made it to the World Series last year. He did a nice job. Angels, Joe Maddon. You know what? Joe Maddon makes a difference. Joe Maddon is going to be a guy who does improve that organization. They got Hinch as the fourth best manager with the Tigers. They're going to suck. Alex Cora, Cheater, is fifth. Tony La Russa likes to drive and he likes to party. I got nothing against, well, the driving part. You know what? Get a, hey, Tony, you got money. Get a driver. Dave Roberts, who is glacial in his approach and just makes the game about as boring as possible. And Craig Counsell with the weird batting stats, Rocco Baldelli, Aaron Boone, Joe Girardi, and then our own Dusty Baker, 12th best manager.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I guess. Well, that's hey, right. I like what Dusty's done here. You know what? Dusty is.
Yeah.
The guys love him. The guys love playing for him. The guys love him by all accounts. And so this is it's nice to – you know what? This was a nice transition. While it's not going to be a long-term transition, he's not Bo Baker. He's done a hell of a job. He's done a really, really nice job here in a short time. We'll find out, you know, if they can fade Dusty for a year or two more. But
what do you mean fade Dusty?
Well, I mean,
he's not long-term.
No, he's not.
He's not a long-term solution.
Unless they're, you know, going to go into the 80s with Dusty Baker. I don't think that's going to be the case. And then the Carlos Correa situation. The Astros are talking to Carlos Correa. It's not like, well, we're not talking to Carlos Correa. It's all about, you know, coming somewhere and meeting somewhere. Meaning their offer was 20. His counter was 25. We'll see if they don't meet somewhere in the middle. I think he's got to make more than Bregman. Otherwise, he doesn't. You know what? He's not going to do it. I think the 20, while it wasn't insulting, it was, no, that's what you're paying Bregman. Pay me more. Because when Bregman's up, Bregman's going to get more. That's just how it's going to work. As long as Bregman gets back to hitting like Bregman. You know what? And Carlos Correa, he's got to prove it. He's got to prove it, but he's going to get paid on the potential and the thought that hopefully he can stay healthy. He and McCullers. Boy, you're taking – when you're doing 5 years with McCullers and then you're going to do 6 years or so, maybe 7 years with Correa, you're taking a lot of risk there.
It's two guys with injury backgrounds. It's a concern. It's a lot of guaranteed money. It's a risk you're willing to take, I guess.
Yeah.
It's the one that they weren't really – they played some hardball with Lance McCullers, and I wonder what flipped it, if that was just all posturing. It must have been. Or you would have just let Lance – well, you wouldn't give him this deal. You wouldn't give him $17 million for 5 years if it wasn't posturing.
Well, yeah. I mean, and you got it done before free agency. Here's the deal is if you're going to go pick up a free agent, we know what they cost. I mean, we know what Lance is. We got a middle-of-the-rotation guy, maybe a number two, hopefully a number two, maybe a number three, and we got him at $17 million. When you're going out on the market trying to find a two – it's going to be more than 17.
It's going to be more than 17.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe they save some money. The question is, can he stay? He and Carlos both stay healthy. 813 ESPN 97.5. You can't get insurance. You can get insurance on that. Actually,
you can get
TGS.
You can get insurance. Not on that. Not on your guaranteed contracts. You can on your homeowners insurance. A lot of people with homeowners insurance, they just, you know, it's almost like, okay, it's time for me to re-up. I don't want any hassle. I'll just let it roll over and we'll stay with the same company. And that's fine from a no-hassle standpoint, but it's actually not. Because tell me how much of a hassle this is. Text the word money to 232323. They'll ask for your address. It's an automated text. We'll come back. What's your address? You send it. And within just a few seconds, you're going to have a firm quote for your homeowner's insurance. You compare it to what you have now. And if you're going to save money, you can switch today. And TGS handles everything for you. All you have to do is like do a virtual, you know, signing of a document that they send you, and you're done. I mean, that's zero hassle. And that's A-rated insurance company, and that's more of your money back in your pocket. And when I say more of your money, I don't care if it's $300 or $2,300, and both can be the case. I mean, we see this all the time. TGS Insurance is putting your hard-earned money back in your pocket where it belongs. Shop your homeowner's insurance with TGS. They'll make it so easy for you. TGSinsurance.com, or more importantly, right now, text the word money to 232323.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Whoa, kitty.
Why you not here with me? Can you break bread with me? Why you switch phone numbers like clothes? Why you can't answer me? Because I got more.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 816 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. The Astros tomorrow, Richard Justice is going to join us. Don't miss that. It's going to be at 8:30. Tomorrow morning. Rafael Stone named the cornerstones of this, the four young core for your Houston Rockets. Who do you think they are?
I mean, Christian Wood, he named the four cornerstones?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Christian.
Well, the four core young players.
Yeah, Christian Wood.
No.
Wait.
No, I'm just kidding.
Wait, what? Not considered young. Christian Wood, I mean, has to be Porter.
Yep.
Not Tate?
Yep.
Okay, and then Kenyon Martin Jr.?
Yep. I don't know that that's a championship core, per se.
No.
But obviously, you got to add pieces.
Three of those guys sound like they're 4 through 8. Porter may be higher. Martin could be a 3. Number 3 on a team, maybe.
No.
High-end. If it, that's his very best.
Well, that's the if that's your third best player.
No. I mean, I feel like they're really more anywhere from 3 through 8. Like I said, I think Jayshon Tate is on a good team. He's somewhere between a 7 and an 8.
Now, Jayshon Tate is a role player, maybe a bench guy.
Yeah. Well, so it depends on what he's bringing to the table.
Yeah. I mean, if that's the core right now, and he has been, Rafael's been adamant, and he's got to be, I guess. No. I love the trade, James Harden trade. We're good. You know what? You can't judge me until 2030. Rafael Stone can't be – you can't judge him until 2030.
Yeah, you can't judge him until the Nets.
I got a lot of respect for
the same way about me.
Yeah, if and when the Nets fall apart, that's when you judge that trade.
Yeah, no. Yeah, if the Nets do fall apart, it can't be a better trade, and you foresaw – That those guys aren't staying in New Jersey. There's a good possibility that that'll happen. Now, if they all stay in New Jersey.
And if they all play till in
Brooklyn.
They're all in their early 30s, correct? Or is Kyrie maybe the youngest because he didn't play?
Yeah, Kyrie's probably 27, I guess.
So, I mean, if they all stayed until their mid-30s, then the trade ain't so great. But, yeah. I mean, if they all dip out after next season, then sure. Nice foresight, but you got to hope that it all falls apart there.
Yeah. Oh, I'm praying that Brooklyn just falls apart. They're, if it does, Rafael Stone could possibly look great. But
Kyrie's 29.
That's the kind of job I want, where I can't be judged until 2030.
Yeah. No, that's preferable.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. That's preferable.
Well, somebody told him. A media member said, "Well, we can't really judge this in 2027." He said, "Now 30." You're right. No.
I think he was.
What? Hey, Tillman.
I think he's joking.
2030.
What? I'll judge it if you're that one of your picks is a bust.
Well, we actually won't know until then.
Well, if let's say I will judge him as an evaluator in this upcoming draft if he picks the wrong guy. If they get the top pick or whatever.
Wow.
And if I look
Would you like to be judged that harshly?
I get judged that harshly all the time.
What if all the good guys are gone already by four?
If he's got four picks to make.
It's the NBA draft.
Okay.
There might not be anybody left.
You can find pick guys.
Yeah. No. The NBA draft sometimes it's too deep.
You don't have to find a fine. You may not be able to find a star, but you can find another part of your core, because apparently the standards aren't very high.
No. Not when it's
Jason Tate is part of the core
and
at 25.
Kenyon Martin Jr.
By the way, Jason's probably what he is as a player at 25. So congratulations on your core player. He's fine.
The outer core, Dale.
Yeah. Well, like it's the
he's
earth.
He's like a young PJ Tucker is kind of how we're
Ooh,
looking
is
at
he?
Him.
Is he?
Well, PJ, no, he doesn't play like it.
PJ had to go to Europe. Is Jason on his way to Europe? I hope not.
This is basically a European team right now.
Yeah.
Maybe you didn't hear it. Have you seen the 20-game losing streak?
This team would
This is a European
squad.
You
think this team loses to that Luka team who was with the Real Madrid? You think they lose to that team?
It'd be tough.
And by the way, can we stop with the Rockets wouldn't make the Final Four?
Who said that?
Oh, God. I've heard so many. Oh, Gonzaga. They would get destroyed by the Rockets.
Yeah.
Simply destroyed by the Rockets.
Now do Jaguars versus Alabama.
The Jaguars would destroy Alabama.
They would have a better quarterback, yeah. Bryce Young versus Trevor Lawrence. Jags would have the better quarterback.
You don't get Trevor Lawrence.
No, you have to. Yeah, you get Trevor Lawrence.
You have to have Minshew. Versus Mac Jones.
No, Minshew's better than
Mac Jones?
Bryce. He's not. Mac Jones isn't on the roster anymore.
No. Last year's. Well, first of all, that's not even the best Alabama team they've had.
Yes, Gardner Minshew's a better quarterback than Mac Jones.
Who has more first-round picks on it?
Well,
Alabama or Jacksonville?
How old are they? They're still boys strong. They ain't man strong yet.
Tell it to Landon Dickerson and Christian Barmore.
Okay. When they get bull rushed or when they get run around.
They ain't getting bull rushed by anybody from
Jacksonville. You know what the Jaguars were? They were the best guy on their teams everywhere they were.
Alabama couldn't block Josh Allen when he was at Kentucky. You think they can block him now?
Yeah, Alex Leatherwood has that kind of game.
No. You know you don't think he's as good as what other people do.
You don't believe any of this.
No.
I'm way back further on Alex Leatherwood. Leatherwood's just a guy.
Yeah, you don't believe any of this.
Know who I think is better than other people think is Sam Cosmi. There's a lot of Sam Cosmi slander in the streets, but he's all right. He's not bad. I mean, Sam Cosmi to me is a good solid 6.2. He'll be an average NFL starter. Sam Cosmi's okay.
Who was the other the Texas offensive lineman that was kind of soft?
Connor Williams.
Do you think you catch that from?
Yes.
Yes.
I do get some Connor Williams vibe. I will admit that, and my comp on him is Connor Williams. Now, with that said, I think he is stronger as a run blocker. Connor used to be pretty. See, I thought Connor Williams was really good as a freshman. And then
he got that Texas in him, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. I mean, I don't know what happened to him. And then, but Cosme's gotten better. I think Cosme's okay. I've noticed, too, there's a lot of Cosme slander, and then people are starting to pick up a little bit. He'll be a second rounder. He'll be a solid second rounder. I think Leatherwood will be a second rounder. It's going to be very interesting this year, and the Texans, unfortunately, are not going to be any part of it for a while. But I am curious to see if they maneuver around. You would think they would move backwards to add more picks, but I would seriously consider giving away my early third pick, because that early third, if somebody wanted to take it from me for a second next year, I would give it away. I would have no problem giving the third round pick away. You're not going to flip flop. Like, you can trade back, flip flop spots, but then you're just going to get like a fourth or fifth round pick. I would take an additional. I would take a second round pick for you to have my third round pick this year if I'm the Texans. I'd do that 100%. So it'll be interesting, because then that's just one fewer player you get a draft. But next year, the Texans would be in pretty decent shape, especially if they deal Deshaun Watson. They'll have a lot of. They'll have a lot of draft picks over the next two or three years, potentially. Nick Caserio he's going to be stockpiling picks. I will promise you that. This isn't going to be the Bill O'Brien, Les Snead, giveaway picks. This is going to be bring picks in.
Well, the Texans hold on to Deshaun Watson only because they believe his value would go up after this is settled. Like, how? Where is his value now as opposed to where it would be if...
Yeah, you sell your stock now, you're selling it short. He'll pick up his value at some point. His value is, once this is done, whether it's a payout or whatever it is, whatever it means done, when it's done, all of a sudden he's Deshaun Watson, the quarterback again. Not
after a year off and sex addiction
yeah.
therapy or whatever it might be
yep.
to prove he's doing the work, whatever they have to say to rehabilitate himself.
Yep. And then all of a sudden he gets it because Deshaun Watson is a whole lot better than any of these quarterbacks right now who are 2, 3, 4, and 5 behind Trevor Lawrence.
We talked about it before, but the Eagles have done the whole, hey, your quarterback did awful things, we'll take him on.
And with Vic, you talking
yeah,
about?
And they,
yeah, it was after a prison stint.
Yeah, and if Sean doesn't go to prison, they can say, well, we've done this, we faded this stuff before. And they would potentially have 3 first-round picks in next year's draft.
Yeah.
So I would, if I'm the Texans, I'm looking
tight.
At them.
I don't panic right
when,
now.
If the Jalen Hurts thing doesn't work out, I'm looking at them. Hey, yeah. You want a quarterback? You got 3 first-round picks.
The city of Philadelphia, as soon as you start winning, they don't care.
No, they don't
anything.
Care. They won't care. They don't give it one
rat's
ass.
They care about Vic. There's like 4 people at the, must stop Vic. And they were like 4 people are walking around in a circle with their placards. This is no good.
Yeah.
And the Eagles fans are, shut up. Michael Vick is winning.
Will the massage therapist in Philadelphia protest? No. Walking around their tables?
Like I said, fans in Philadelphia care about one thing. Can you play?
Yeah. No, they get there. There's
most, to be fair, most professional and college, most sports fans yeah. care about Philly, one thing. Philly, can you play?
Yeah, Philly fans like, don't make us out to be the weird ones.
Yeah,
everyone's
everybody.
Like that.
Yeah.
All right, 826 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776. Kevin Durant is getting aggressive with Michael Rapoport. I mean, aggressive.
Michael Rapoport is on this kick now where he's trying to argue and fight against everybody.
And this one's interesting. This one is good.
Is it?
On the other side.
ESPN 97. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. This was over a year ago. It was 12-22-20. When Kevin Durant did an interview on TNT, and apparently he wasn't too pleased with Charles and Shaq and Kenny or any other questions.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
The guy wasn't happy with him when he goes after 15-year-olds with burner accounts.
So I don't know. Maybe they said something about, I mean, maybe he missed a shot, and they said, oh, he missed the KD, as he missed a shot, and that's a bad shot. And KD was none too pleased with the crew. KD, here's what Michael Rapoport, this is 12-22-20. No, it's not over a year ago, obviously. It's 6 months ago, or not even 6 months ago. KD seemed deeply in his feelings with the NBA on TNT crew after the game. Damn it, he's super sensitive about everything. Don't do the interview. Now, he didn't even tag Kevin Durant in this. Michael Rapoport. He put at NBA on TNT.
Oh, that doesn't matter. Kevin Durant will search his name. Or people, more than likely, what happens is, here come the Twitter snitches, at Kevin Durant,
That's true.
Oh, KD, did you see this?
So now I'm going to clean it up. When I say, Kevin Durant actually used the words that I'm not going to use. All Kevin Durant responded was, you a B.
Ooh.
Yeah. And Michael Rapoport responded, just do the effing interview. And if you're upset about something they said, say something. Up there looking like you were going to cry and ship.
Who said? Rappaport told him that. Up there looking like you were going to cry.
And ship.
And
KD says, I did the interview, you D-head. Now, this is what Fred says all the time. The D? Ooh. No, he says weed. D-weed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell your baby daddy Chuck to be better at his job and frame his questions better. He gave me two options for that dumbass question, yes or no. Rappaport, I still, only you can see this. I don't know why they still ask for this idiot's opinion. Someone called idiot. He would literally cry on TV.
So what that is? It Rappaport pulled something from another post, then he just added his caption to it, and he added Kevin Durant so Kevin Durant could see it.
Yeah,
and that's what Kevin Durant's responding to it.
Only you can see this. Rappaport said,
"No, that's part of Instagram's thing." Uh-huh. But what it is he pulled something and it became part of his story. And then he added his caption saying, if someone called Easy Money Sniper an idiot, he would literally cry on TV. So Kevin Durant replied to that story with these messages in Rappaport's DMs.
Right. And then he says this. These are all Kevin Durant. He went eight straight Instagram posts on Rappaport in his DMs. I heard it all before, you C-word. Chuck doesn't need you as security, you pale, pasty, C-guzzling bee.
Wow.
Yes.
C-guzzling bee. That's so...
The other C-word.
I swear
I'm a spit in your face when I see your dirty ass.
I like to spit in his mouth while he sleeps.
Ooh. Ooh. I bet your life on it. Meet me on West 17th tomorrow at 10. Or better yet, what's your address? 10 a.m. at Catch Steak on the corner. Meet me there. P. And then Rappaport says, go help the kids in Brownsville, Brooklyn, and stop being an effing P.
It continues.
Kevin Durant says, you a B for even caring how I do an interview. All you do is C-suck other men for attention.
Oh, my God.
Trump didn't pay attention to your sorry ass. Now you want to use everybody else to get views and laughs. Your life is a joke, you effing pale C-sucker.
Mm, yeah, it came back.
So go get some sun. It's effing with your brain. P-O-S. Go to Brownsville and help the people that need it, goofball, said Rappaport. Back to Durant. You go do it, you clown. Good for you. Nobody gives an F. S a D. Can't wait to tell you this in person.
And he continues. This is all Durant.
Durant has this many comments.
Durant.
Well, he's not playing right now.
Well, that's true.
Durant had five laughing emojis. You called your lawyer like a P-U-R. Ha 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 ha.
Long ha 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 ha.
You couldn't talk Portnoy. You couldn't talk Portnoy talking ship.
That is in reference to the defamation lawsuit on Barstool.
Yeah. Defamation or of character? And then so six crying emojis.
Crying laughing, yeah.
Yeah. Crying laughing?
Yes.
P.S. want a lawyer up. Your wife mad as F because you wasting that little bit of money on a lawyer because you can't take a joke. Ha 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 ha. How
can't take a joke? What joke?
How P are you? Your wife doesn't even respect your BS.
Ooh, my goodness.
This is
P's and B's all over the place.
And different C words.
What about C-esser?
Yes.
And C-guzz.
Yeah, C-guzzler. A different C word.
Like, there's a lot of
There's three different C words in here.
He went for the trifecta of C words.
Equally.
Wow. Is Kevin Durant. I mean, talk about don't ever say anything.
So many things.
Listen, everybody, kids out there, stay away from Kevin Durant.
Don't say anything
don't
about him.
Say something
Do
about
not
Kevin
say
Durant.
Something because he's going to find
Please
out.
Please don't say
He'll
something.
He'll meet you at West 17th Street.
I do not need Kevin Durant calling me a C this or C that. I swear to you, if Kevin Durant was in my mock draft, he'd be number one. I just don't need any heat from him.
Oh. You would have taken Greg Oden first.
No, I don't need any of that problem.
Oh, man. man, I don't need Kevin Durant on my ass.
Hey,
he says ugly stuff that
you are going to see the B and be the C.
And C
D my C.
And E the D.
And E A D C S.
And guzzle the C.
Man, why don't you guzzle this C G and G go and go G my S A? Like, God,
whoa,
Kevin Durant. Man, just go play a video game or something. Why do you sit on Instagram stories and get mad at Michael Rapaport, who literally mute the conversations, bro?
No, he had to search. Well, someone had to either tell him or he had to search his name. Because the initial thing, Rapaport didn't mention him by name.
No.
Or he didn't add him.
So but you know the Twitter
beast. You're right. Someone either told him or he searches his name.
Yeah.
Or maybe he follows Rapaport. Somebody,
oh, look, KD. Look at what Michael Rapaport said.
Ooh, KD.
Or he's following him.
You know, I don't think I've ever written Sea Guzzler to anyone.
No. I have not either.
No. Or,
I don't think I've probably joked and called someone a CSer, but never written it. Yeah. Kevin Durant is aggressive.
Aggressive. At least he didn't use the word dumpster.
Oh,
no, let him say his thing. Let him have his fun.
Okay, sure.
Just let him have his fun.
I mean, that would have been too aggressive.
Well, guzzle ain't great either.
No, it's not.
Guzzler. No.
No.
Isn't there a band called the Guzzlers?
Yeah, but I don't think they have that other word in front of it. Or maybe they do. I don't know.
In that band. I just
golly, Kevin Durant. I'm like, if Michael Rapaport.
How does he get you that triggered? Like,
yeah.
He's just a clown.
He's just, that's what he does. He's a guy who it says stuff, and Kevin Durant is so sensitive about things.
I mean, good Lord. why, KD? Why?
This makes me give him even more credit for his basketball stuff because the mental things he has to do to focus to play basketball, considering what he reacts to when he's not playing basketball. All credit to you for blocking all the noise
because it's noisy in his head.
It's just
anybody says anything. We thought Mike was sensitive.
And that's when I took it personal. Well, Mike internalized it and tried to annihilate you on the court. Kevin Durant goes to Instagram stories.
Yeah.
Like, that's the biggest difference between. So if this were not social media, if we didn't have social media, A, he'd never hear it, and that softness would just have to manifest itself on the court. And he's a good player on the court. Now, I always have thought it was a little strange that like Patrick Beverley could kind of take him out of his game sometimes because he just gets up under his chin from 25 feet out there and just really starts to try to physically work him over. Like, Kevin Durant he is not very tough on the court never mind, KD. I didn't say
that. No, you just said that.
I'm joking. I don't want to guzzle.
You trying to get Kevin Durant?
I don't want to get guzzle or any of that stuff.
No.
And, yeah, of course, we got a response from Dream Shake. You guys read it differently. He quote-tweeted someone. You guys read it differently. Everyone on KD's side, nobody like rap in reference to rap. It's not a question of liking or not.
Your guy is soft.
Dream Shake coming through.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
You would think this is the one area, like, there's no possible way he could defend that.
And surprisingly,
but literally, Kevin Durant is soft as shit.
And surprisingly, the internet siding with the basketball player over the loudmouth comedian or actor, whatever. So be it. The internet sides with Katie. I don't care. But Kevin Durant, it was barely anything that started this. Barely anything. He didn't like how you responded to a question on TNT.
Dream Shake. Even you got to say, come on, soft. No. Come on, Jake. Dream Shake. Come on.
But no, Michael Rapaport would call him a guzzler.
Yeah.
When it comes to KD, it is like,
mm-hmm.
Take it all.
Childish Alex, I don't understand the dumpster comment. Please explain.
Don't let him.
Listen up, kids. JG finna drop knowledge.
Yeah.
No, kids.
No, kids.
John,
no, kids.
What is no the dumpster kids. Mean?
John's not finna drop knowledge.
I'm not
knowledge.
Doing that.
There is no knowledge coming, kids.
So, apparently, you got to find Vernon Maxwell was talking about Mike. Had some good quotes about Michael Jordan and guarding him and playing against him. You're going to have to clean it up. He was on a podcast. You're going to have to really clean it up, but there's some good stuff in there. Vernon talking about Michael Jordan That's the good stuff. It ain't like this, okay? Now, he did say ugly words, but he didn't say any. There were no C words in it. There's zero C words. Zero. 841, Final Four is set. It's going to be Gonzaga, UCLA, Baylor, and the University of
It's the West
Houston.
Coast versus the South. Southwest.
The Gulf Coast.
Yeah, it's the Gulf Coast versus the West Coast. That's
right.
What it is.
That's what it is.
That's what it is.
Yeah, East Coast beat it.
It feels like that whole Baylor-Gonzaga thing that we've been waiting for all year is probably going to happen. Yeah. Although Houston's only a five-point dog. I noticed it went up a half point at this side. I think it'll go to six.
I know, too.
It may even go to six and a half.
I think people are going to jump all over Baylor.
Yeah.
It's going to be awfully difficult, but you know what? They're going to give Baylor hell. They're going to give them 40 minutes of hell. Not the kind that Arkansas did with their press and their pressure. But U of H, I'm going to tell you this. We'll do it on the other side. 842 ESPN 97.5.
You're going to disrespect Gonzaga again and act like UCLA is going to roll them?
This time. Not this time. Holy crap. That team.
They wanted to make
no,
they made
no,
a,
no. That
was
this
a statement yesterday.
This is one of the best basketball teams we've seen in a while. One of the best basketball teams we've seen in a while.
It really is.
Let's
really
is. Take a break, but first let's talk about our boy, Rick.
The Texas Star Grill Shop family, Rick and Michelle Martin and their entire crew. I mean, it started from the bottom, now they're here. I remember when they were the small location, and then they bought out the two spaces right next to them, and now there's like hundreds of grills in there. And I'm just talking about the location there at Shepherd and Greenbrier Shepherd, that exit where you it's at Greenbrier and 59 on the feeder. There's four locations. There's a brand new location on Woodway, and every one of them has all the top of the line grills. And whether it's Pits and Spits, which is made here locally, which is a phenomenal company, the Traeger Timberline, which is on sale right now. You have so many different types. The Big Green Egg, which is a ceramic cooker. The DSC, which John has. There's any type of grill that you're looking for. Any type of marinade, or maybe it's a rub. And this is where they're huge. Is they know what all of these different types of rubs are best for and which ones are the very best ones. They are pit masters inside of every store. They're going to help you take your game to the next level. Whether you're an expert or somebody who's just starting off, they can find the right grill for you, and you are going to find that it makes it so easy to make delicious, succulent food every time out. It's a sale going on right now, spring sale, and they will get you the delivery and the assembly absolutely free. Make sure that you go to the website, TexasStarGrillShop.com.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com.
All right, it's 8:46 on ESPN 97.5, 7-3-7-8-0-3-7-7-6. We alluded to going into the break, and anybody wants to talk about University of Houston, come on. This is a great time for you to come in. We've got the Final Four set. UCLA and Gonzaga both advanced yesterday. Michigan, very disappointing. The Big Ten was the big loser in the tournament this year. That was by far, it was the best conference this year. And, not so much. Not when it came down to playing other conferences on the biggest stage, they just couldn't handle it. And big ups to the Pac-12. They got one team in UCLA, the play-in team. This is another nice run. VCU had a run like this. UCLA, a bigger program than VCU. And Mick Cronin, a hell of a coach. Mick Cronin is a hell of a coach. And afterwards, he was like, hey, we're the only – it's us against the world thing, though.
Yes, that's what it has to be.
Nobody believed in us.
Well, that's true. You barely made the tournament. No one believed in you. Even the tournament committee barely believed in you. I think this is his second year there after a long run at Cincinnati. Yeah. He went 19-12 the year before. Postseason got canceled, so they probably weren't going to make the tournament. I don't remember where they were as far as the bubble was concerned last year. So he was brought in after a lot of success in Cincinnati, but a lot of early exits. They were a team that disappointed, like round of 64, round of 32. That was the run since like 14. And in his first year at UCLA, as an 11 seed, makes the Final Four. he has had a lot of postseason disappointment.
Yeah, and he had some good teams at Cincinnati too.
Yeah,
his Xavier wars were great. His he's a really good coach though.
He is. Yeah. Oh, it's not a knock. I'm just pulling up his resume and head coaching record on Wikipedia, and he hadn't been past the round of 32 since 2012. And that was a Sweet 16 appearance, and that was it for him at Cincinnati. So they have kind of flamed out, and he gets to UCLA, and he's made an improbable run.
I didn't see
this. You know, I got a call from him way back. It's funny because I used to talk to Andy Katz, because Rock got me introduced to a lot. When Steve Rockford was with Memphis, with Cal,
mm-hmm.
I got introduced to a lot of different people. And when Clyde left the program,
okay,
when Clyde left,
got his suit him,
which wasn't long. When Clyde left the program, I was getting calls from Carl Hobbs, who was at UConn at the time, I think, and then Mick Cronin, and they were calling me trying to see if I could help them with, like, did I have any insight into the Houston program? Putting their names out on Houston radio? Like, Mick Cronin was just a young up-and-coming coach at that particular time. I think Underhug at Cincinnati. But Mick Cronin now, who's with UCLA and going to the Final Four, he was a guy calling me, like, introducing himself and Carl Hobbs about, yeah, any help you can give me putting my name out there on the radio in Houston? Because they wanted the Houston job.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to coach at University of Houston, and then they ended up hiring Ray McCallum.
Yeah, that didn't work out. He was a nice guy. It didn't work out.
Yeah. Houston coaches were nice guys that didn't work out.
So I didn't see this, but they ranked the coaches heading into the Sweet 16. Did you see that? Where do you think Kelvin Sampson finished out of 16?
Probably 6th.
13th.
Okay.
I
don't know all the coaches who were there. I mean, I'm not as into college basketball as I used to be, so I can't really act like I'm outraged.
No, but Kelvin Sampson, I mean, I just read a piece on, you know.
I mean, he was two seed.
I heard, you know, Jerome yesterday on with the boys in the afternoon yesterday, and he said, you know, Kelvin is a great coach. He's unbelievable. The kids love him, blah, blah, blah. Strategist and all of that stuff, but he doesn't have that big win on his resume. He doesn't have the national championship on his resume. Okay. So.
Who does?
Yeah, right. I mean, somebody does every year.
Well, but there's not a ton.
No, obviously not. You know, and whether or not he's a Hall of Famer and all of that stuff is that'll certainly play into it. But he was at OU. He made the Final Four at OU in 2002. Now he's made the Final Four here again. It's going to be an awfully tough road with Gonzaga and Baylor. Baylor and Gonzaga. This is harder. This is going to be as difficult as it gets. But rank the coaches that you would like to have coaching your team in this Final Four.
I mean, obviously, Cronin's done a great job over there.
Few
gets his guys to play exactly. It's a good list.
It is a good list.
Good coaches.
They're really good coaches.
Who would I want? I guess I go Few first. How do you argue against that?
Well, this is his second Final Four in the last two or three years.
His team's undefeated.
Well, I guess 4 years.
And you remember, Mark Few actually took over. The guy that first got it started was Dan.
Yeah, Dan Munson.
Yeah. He was the one that actually got it started, and then Few took over, and it's become the Mark Few show, and people come after him, and it's like they know not even to. It's kind of like Gary Patterson at TCU, never left for some reason. But, yeah, Mark Few, and why would you leave? If you like, for a bigger name, you're Gonzaga. You're right there with all those teams now.
And that's
now.
What people are asking, too, about Kelvin right now. Well, does this mean he's going to leave?
Hey. You know what his buyout is? It gets $14 million.
Well, no, but that's not anywhere. Like you're going to fire him. If he left, you don't have to buy him out.
No, what I'm saying is, if somebody wants to buy him out, like, he couldn't leave now.
Oh,
he
I see.
He can't leave Houston.
I see.
That's what I'm talking about.
And not
about.
Only that.
You can't steal Kelvin Sampson.
But Lauren and Kellen are both working for him. He's in a – I mean, I just read a story about him. He saw Kellen 10 days a year when he was a coach with the Rockets. And, you know, and Kellen was working his way up through Sam Houston State and other places and trying to make his way in the business. Now he gets to see his kids every day. Lauren is in charge of, she's ops. She's in ops and you know, is what it's a family deal. And you know what he said? That's what he wanted. When he signed this deal, he said, "Okay, but my kids are going to work here." Okay, that's fine, Kelvin. We got no problem with your kids working here. And the thought is that when Kelvin leaves, he names his successor, and that's going to be Kellen. And okay, you know what? There's a great coach. You know, and Kellen gets his shot. And if Kellen does well, then Kellen continues to be the University of. Do you have any problem with that? None. Yeah. I have none.
You don't?
No.
But how often has that worked out?
A lot.
Name them.
Thompson's.
We got to get to a break.
Thompson's?
Yeah.
Which no, Thompson?
Thompson's kid?
His kid didn't wasn't the automatic successor.
He wasn't the direct
successor,
was he?
He didn't go direct.
He was, well, but they hired his
yeah,
kid.
But they...
That yeah, was a while back. That was actually a long gap between, wasn't it? No, not super long.
I don't remember, but it didn't feel like he was the direct successor.
He was in the Ivy League, right?
I believe so. I believe he had head coaching experience before George. Yeah, he coached at Princeton.
Yeah.
He was at Princeton, John Thompson the second?
Yeah.
The third, yes.
The third.
Yes. So he had done things at Princeton and made the Final Four. I mean, not Final Four. He made the tournament twice. So he had a resume that's okay, there's a connection there. I know Tubby Smith tried at one point to, okay, my kid's next in line. I don't think he ever got the job.
Well,
yeah, but yeah. Here's the deal: is you get Kelvin Sampson, and you know what? There's a price to pay.
The price to pay.
And you know what? Kelvin Sampson has turned
the price to pay is nepotism.
Yeah, well, that's the price to pay is
nepotism. And listen, Kelvin Sampson has turned this into a doldrum program into a Final Four.
Yeah, but Dell's
team.
Probably right. You can look. You hired your kid.
Yeah,
the school's paying your wife and your kid. Like
no, your daughter and your kid.
I mean, your daughter and your kid. We don't have to guarantee your son. This is not a Supreme Court position.
It's not a kingdom. It's not a. It's not royalty.
Okay.
It's not,
yeah.
Did you
it's not
want
your
him? Did you want to extend him? Did you want him to stay?
Well, how about cash?
What? No, but just keep paying him.
Cash. You know what? This is the succession rate.
No head coach.
I know what he's doing now. He's trying to get JT a job in sports radio.
Well, good. Well,
JT I think JT will do better off. I wanted to take over
Dell's job so he could be.
Why? You know, that's not a gig you want for your kid.
So he could be a success in life.
So oh, that's a mistake then.
Yeah.
No. Seems incorrect.
You
have to
keep paying bills. He is a clown.
That's fine. Kelvin Sampson has done great things. I'm just saying, at some point, he's going to leave, and I don't like the whole, sure, just hand it to your kid because he was on the staff. Maybe go get hire the best candidate. If it happens to be his son, great. If not, go hire a better coach.
No. Well, hey, listen, give him the shot. Did you want him here? Yes. And guess what? He's here.
Yes, so, Kelvin Sampson.
Yeah, Kelvin Sampson, and turn the program around into
fine.
A Final Four
mean,
from 1984.
That doesn't
they
mean
they were terrible.
You
and
want
if the price to,
pay
is Kellen being the head coach, then I'm fine with it.
I'm
no,
not.
I don't think
that's
most people
a poor
would be,
plan.
That's you. I don't think most people would be okay
well,
with
not, well,
unless
you know,
Kellen is extremely qualified.
Know, listen, I don't know that that's the deal. I think it's a deal behind the scenes.
Well, it has
I heard,
been mentioned. Yeah,
yeah that's
like
the
behind
deal.
The scenes.
Apparently, if U of H is okay with it, I mean,
look, if Kellen, okay. Then there should be a give. You should be like, okay, but you take less money then. If we're going to guarantee your family a position.
You don't know what they're going to pay him. You mean what they're paying Kelvin?
Yeah.
Oh.
If we're going to give you that, then you take less money.
Well, I don't know what that he might have asked for more.
That's kind of it is kind of crazy. It is. It's one thing to have a coach in waiting on your staff.
Yeah.
That happens all the time. But when it's your son, if you're using it for leverage to get somebody, and his son may be very qualified. You know,
yeah.
I don't know.
And we'll see. We'll see how, you know what? We'll see. And if he's not any good, then guess what? He's not going to be there for long.
Well, how long would he be? It'd probably be 2 to 3 years, and 2 to 3 years can change a program pretty quickly. If he's qualified, great. But,
you know, my dad was coaching waiting at U of H when he was there until he wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
That happens. He was in his 30s. He was a hot coach coming up. And then he went from being. He stayed there because he was like a coach in waiting, and then before you know it, you're
happened.
Not a coach in waiting.
Yeah, but that's because stuff
but that's
happened.
What that's what
well,
Dell's saying.
Know. Well, no.
I'm not
Houston won
scandal.
One game that Houston won one game that year. That whole staff was going. If your program goes downhill,
but they also had the recruiting stuff.
Well, yeah, but if your program goes downhill, it doesn't matter. They're not going to look at you the same. Like,
yeah, well,
they were they were 18 and
well, but that was while Yeoman was
14,
still there,
still here. Yeoman had been coming down anyway.
But he was still there.
When?
When they won one game?
Yeah, he was
still there. Yeah, well, he's still there. If Sampson wins one game, then okay. But let's face that's a totally different situation.
Kelvin Sampson has taken Houston to a place they haven't been since the 80s. We know. The story is there. And if you want to operate like a big-time program, that's not the move you make. You do have an interview process. And if Kellen is the most qualified, great. If not, you go hire a coach who may really want to be here. If you want to be a big time program going forward.
Well, then we all can agree that I'm fine with it. You know what?
That's
it. It is nepotism, but guess what? If you want a Kelvin Sampson to get you to the Final Four,
it's the
a guy
kind.
As good as he is, then you got
the
there's
kind
a
of nepotism.
Then there's a price to pay.
Oh, well. not in every
you know
place.
What? I tell you what, do you guys think U of H people would be against? I bet you they're all like, so what? Who cares?
They can look, you're on a high right now. That's great. Understood. Kelvin Sampson is doing great things. And look, he could be here for the next 4 or 5. Who knows how long he'll be here? May not even matter. Maybe Kellen goes someplace else because his dad never leaves. So it may not be a thing. But when the time comes, all I would hope for is that they have an actual process. That's all. And if Kellen gets a job, Kellen gets a job.
Yeah, it'll be a process, but then guess who gets hired?
Well, that's a poor process if it's like that.
859 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. The other Eric, you're going to be first up here talking about the Final Four. Now more than ever, you can count on Texas Mattress Makers for your best night's sleep. Texas Mattress Makers, they keep their promise to give you handcrafted, custom-fitted mattresses while keeping the prices low for you and your family. Every mattress in my house is from Texas Mattress Makers. They're the best. I love them. Shop local and confidently online at TexasMattressMakers.com or visit one of their 4 showrooms in Katy, the Woodlands, East Downtown, Houston, or Baybrook.
ESPN 97.5.